Radio Prague News.
Security is being beefed up on Czech streets, but officials say there's no increased terror threat. President Zeman says the Berlin attack shows that terrorism is coming nearer to the Czech Republic. And the tennis star Petra Kvitová has been hurt in a knife attack at her apartment. The Czech intelligence services say there is no increased danger of a terrorist attack at the present time. The country's intelligence group said on Tuesday afternoon that the present first degree of terrorist threat would remain in place. However, the police have stepped up security in Prague and other major cities in reaction to Monday's attack in Berlin. Armed patrols have been monitoring the capital's Old Town Square and metro stations since Tuesday morning. After a meeting with Interior Minister Milan Chovanec, the Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka said police would have a massive presence at densely crowded spots at the close of the year and that hundreds of extra officers would be deployed. President Miloš Zeman says terrorist attacks are getting closer to the Czech Republic, and it's clear that the security measures in place at Prague Castle are important. Mr. Zeman made the comment the day after an attack in Berlin in neighbouring Germany left 12 people dead. Communicating via his spokesman Jiří Ovčáček, he said he was against any refugees on the territory of the Czech Republic. The president said Monday's horrific attack on the German capital had confirmed his long-standing warning of the risk of terror attacks in Europe. Meanwhile, Czech leaders have offered condolences to Germany in the wake of the attack. Prime Minister Sobotka expressed solidarity with the German government and said his thoughts were with the families of the victims. Culture Minister Daniel Herman also condemned the attack, stressing that the Christmas message of peace and hope must not be overshadowed by evil. The Czech tennis star Petra Kvitová was hurt during an attack at her apartment in the Moravian town of Prostějov on Tuesday morning. It's been reported that the injury may include a cut to the tendons in her left hand, the one she plays with. A local newspaper quoted a source close to the player as saying that Kvitová had fought back against the attacker and in doing so had her hands and all her fingers cut and would likely need surgery. Her spokesman told Czech radio it appeared to be a random rather than planned crime. He said the two-time Wimbledon winner, who is 26, was receiving medical care. Police said the assailant had got into Kvitová's home by claiming to be a boiler inspector and fled after the attack. The Czech Foreign Ministry has strongly condemned the murder of the Russian ambassador to Turkey, Andrei Karlov, saying the attack is a grave violation of the inviolability of diplomatic representatives and an assault on the rules of international law governing the work of diplomats worldwide. The ministry said the Czech Republic would continue to support the war on terror in every way possible. Finance Minister Andrej Babiš has reacted coolly to a call from mining company OKD, which has been bankrupt since May, for state aid for the Paskov mine in North Moravia. In a letter to the Ministry of Industry and Trade, OKD said it needed 723 million crowns to cover severance payments for employees and to wind down the mine. Mr. Babiš said his ministry didn't envisage giving the company another state loan on top of the 700 million crowns it received earlier this year. The Paskov mine is due to close at the end of March. The weather, it should be cloudy with some fair spells on Wednesday. Temperatures are expected to reach up to 2 degrees Celsius. Daytime highs are likely to rise slightly during the week to 3 degrees on Christmas Eve, when rain is expected. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, condolences and stepped-up security after the Berlin Christmas market attack. There's a new turn in a controversial conflict of interest bill, and we talk to a Czech conservationist with a passion for lynx. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Czech political leaders have offered their condolences to Germany in the wake of Monday's terrorist attack on a Christmas market in Berlin, which killed 12 people and left 48 injured. Following the incident, security has also been stepped up at sites in the Czech Republic. Jan Wellinger reports.
Last month, the U.S. issued a warning to its citizens that Europe was facing a heightened risk of terror attacks at Christmas markets and other holiday events. Tragically, the State Department's warning proved true. on Monday. Witnesses said that an assailant driving a truck at 40 miles per hour had ploughed into a Christmas market in Berlin. A man was apprehended and was in custody, but it has since been reported by the German police that it was the wrong person, meaning the person who committed the atrocity is still at large, raising significant concerns. Security expert and former head of the Czech military intelligence, Andor Sándor, told Czech radio that the Berlin attack had clearly been inspired by an attack earlier in the year on Bastille Day in France.
What is readily apparent is that the person was inspired by the attack in Nice this summer. He obtained a truck on purpose to drive into a crowd of people in a holiday area. You have a situation where would-be attackers reach for tools they are comfortable with to try and carry out an attack. Some will opt for a truck, others for weapons.
In Berlin, no Czechs were reported among the 12 dead or almost 50 injured. Nevertheless, the tragedy led to security at key areas in the neighboring Czech Republic to being beefed up. Police with machine guns were dispatched, for example, to monitor Prague's Old Town Square and other sites in the Czech capital where visitors have been taking in the holiday atmosphere. Security at other so-called soft targets such as airports and shopping malls is also likely to be heightened, and further steps are to be discussed by the Prime Minister in special consultations on Tuesday afternoon. The country's intelligence services said there is no evidence of impending danger, but if there's one thing that the attacks in Europe have proven, it is that even international cooperation by the police and the various security services cannot prevent all plots from being hatched or protect all potential targets. Following the attack in Berlin, Radio Prague visited Christmas markets in the Czech capital. Here's what some of the attendees there had to say.
I can say that I'm afraid. I'm keeping my eyes peeled, looking at people around. You're more careful as a result.
I am not afraid. I have faith that the police and the state know what they're doing and are looking into the matter. Of course, anything can happen, and it's up to each of us to deal with the possibility in his own way. But I think reacting in fear is the worst thing that can happen.
Expressing condolences to Germany, Culture Minister Daniel Herman said that hope must not be overshadowed by evil. Czech MEP Jaromír Štětina maintained that Europe needed to stay strong and not allow developments to be manipulated by populists or the political fringe.
One of the answers, maybe the only answer, is for Europe to remain strong. We have to stand up to divisive attempts, wherever they come from, to prevent further cataclysms. MEP Jaromír Štětina ending that report by Jan Wellinger. President Miloš Zeman has vetoed a conflict of interest bill which would restrict the business activities of cabinet members and bar them from owning media outlets. The proposed legislation was set up to have a major impact on Ano's billionaire boss, Andrej Babiš, and the president's veto has increased speculation about a growing allegiance between the two political heavyweights. Daniela Lazarova reports.
There are few issues on which members of the ruling coalition and opposition see eye to eye, but the conflict of interest bill, widely seen as targeting ANO leader and finance minister Andrej Babiš, is one of these exceptions. The ruling Social Democrats and Christian Democrats joined forces with the opposition to push through a bill that would ban cabinet members from owning media outlets and bar companies where ministers have more than a 25% stake from receiving state subsidies, taking part in public tenders and accessing investment aid. Mr. Babiš, who owns two major dailies and the country's most popular radio station, as well as a multi-billion crown business empire, fought the bill tooth and nail.
Any expert on constitutional law will tell you that this bill is in violation of the constitutional order. It is merely an instrument in a political battle.
Although President Zeman originally said he would sign the law into force, despite not being entirely happy with it, he unexpectedly used his right of veto on Monday on the grounds that the draft law is directed against one man and on several counts violates the constitutional order. He made it clear that should the lower house override his veto, he would file a complaint with the constitutional court. Legal experts are divided on the matter, with some agreeing that the draft law could be challenged, in particular the part that would ban not only government members but all elected officials, including local councillors, from media ownership. Others say the law should be enforced later with a clear starting line for new government members who would be aware of the strings attached to certain political posts. While the fate of the bill, should it be placed under the scrutiny of the Constitutional Court, remains uncertain, the president's veto is widely seen as another sign of allegiance between him and Arno's billionaire boss, Andrei Babiš. The president has openly supported Mr. Babiš in the past, visiting his stork's nest farm at a time when it was investigated on suspicion of abusing EU funds, and telling the lower house, only half in joke during a debate on next year's state budget, that the finance minister's performance merited a Nobel Prize for the economy. In turn, Mr. Babiš has made himself heard that he could imagine Arno supporting Miloš Zeman in the next presidential elections, should he choose to run for office for a second term. Be as it may, the conflict of interest bill now faces fresh hurdles. A January vote in the lower house, where its advocates will strive to override the president's veto, and possibly a second in the constitutional court, should the president or Mr. Babiš himself take issue with it.
Daniela Lazarova there with that report. Now it's time for our regular feature In Focus, this time with Dominic Yun.
I'm joined by Tereza Minarikova, who is a zoologist who used to work with the Nature Conservation Agency of the Czech Republic and now is with the NGO Alka Wildlife. There she serves as a manager for research projects and is a specialist in carnivores. Thank you, Tereza, for joining me today to talk about Czech wildlife. So what is Czech wildlife? I mean, Czech Republic is a Central European country with lots of forests. So let's begin by sort of having a quick overview of the kind of wildlife we find in the Czech Republic.
Well, we are not a country with a very high biodiversity. However, there are some interesting species which are rare, or let's say subspecies we have in the Czech Republic. I personally focus on large carnivores, or let's say carnivores. So, for example, wolf, bear or lynx species, which are very rare and endangered in the Czech Republic. However, like carnivore species in general are all endangered and declining group of species. So we focus on them in general.
So is the situation with natural diversity getting better now in the Czech Republic? Presumably during the Industrial Revolution, and then you have world wars, that the Czech Republic lost a lot of forested land and so on, lost a lot of creatures and so on. So is it improving now? Are we seeing return of wild animals?
No, it's declining.
Still declining.
Yeah, it's declining. Especially since the Second World War, there were quite massive landscape changes, land use changes, which affected a lot of species.
Was that during was the communist era somehow responsible for that, the sort of big industrial approach of the communists?
Yes, so-called collectivization
affected
our landscape a lot.
Right, yes.
That means that before there were a lot of small plots, small farmland or grassland, the landscape was very heterogeneous. And this change by this collectivization, that now there are big fields of same crop and the landscape is less heterogeneous with big areas of the same type, big forests, big fields of the, some type of crop. And a lot of species were affected by this. It's a question of habitat loss, but also a possibility to migrate or to move through the countryside.
So which species were lost? You mentioned bears and wolves and lynxes. Bears and wolves, because we'll talk about lynxes later on, because that's a specialty of yours. So let's talk about wolves and bears and the other species. Those were the kinds of carnivores that could live in these small fields?
With carnivores, it's a bit different story. Carnivores were hunted in the past, and this extreme hunting led to almost their extinction. Or a part-time extinction and then they returned. Unlike other species which lost their habitat or their habitats were fragmented, which led to some kind of population declines, and it brought them to the verge of extinction. So these are different stories for different species. With large carnivores, it's mainly hunting and two-day poaching.
So how widespread were wolves and bears in the Czech lands in the past?
In the past, they were like common very right. widespread. But then due to hunting, they went extinct or almost extinct. Because in Beskydy area, which is on the Czech and Slovakian border, mm-hmm. the forests were always connected to Slovakia. So some wolves and bears could always come. But in the rest of the Czech Republic, they were extinct. Same with lynx.
Okay, so today there are no bears at all in Czech, wild bears, and no wolves in the Czech lands. Is that right to say?
Bear is currently only present in Moravia, in this small Beskydy area. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was true that there were no wolves in Czech part of the Czech Republic until recently, when the wolf came back, returned, like...
From
mostly Poland and Germany, okay. from north.
So from the north. And the bears, they were reintroduced deliberately, right, into the Beskydy area? Mm. Or did they come as well by themselves?
They came by themselves. It was just natural dispersal because Slovakian bear population is growing. Uh-huh. It's doing very well. So it's like, it's naturally that on the edge of these populations, animals try to migrate or disperse to new areas. So we are basically dependent on the state of Slovakian bear population. When it is doing well, there are some... Time to time, there is a bear in the Czech Republic, but it's just on the border.
Right. And what kind of bears are these? And what should a human do if a human being sees one in the forest? Is there some sort of danger? They're not like grizzly bears, right?
No. It's not the same kind. I think people should just stay calm and live quietly. And it's okay. It's not a carnivore that would naturally attack people. It can in some situations, but usually in case when it feels endangered, like a mother with cub, or if it's hurt or something happens, then it can attack you. But it's kind of like self-defense, but it wouldn't naturally attack a person which is not endangered, threatening them.
Okay, let's now listen to the sound of an animal which is very close to your heart. And then we'll talk about what we listen to. So that sounded either like a chainsaw or somebody snoring, but it's not. It's apparently it's a lynx. That's the sound of a lynx. What's it doing? Why is it making such a sound?
Usually the vocalization is somehow connected with the mating period. They interact together, talk to each other. During the year, a lynx is a solitary species, but within this mating period, there are a lot of encounters, like male trying to protect its territory against other males, or male meeting a female and trying to impress her. Mm-hmm. So it's a time of the year when there is a lot of social contacts.
So lynx are cats, species of cat. So tell me about how many we have now in the Czech Republic and the history of when they were plentiful and now efforts to revive their numbers, right?
Yes. Currently, we think we have about 60 to 80 animals, but we don't have exact numbers because like intensive lynx research is done only in some areas. So it's definitely less than 100 and probably it's about 60 to 80. And it's true that lynx was almost extinct in the Czech Republic, but as I say, in these Beskydy areas, maybe one, two animals survived during the Second World War. But in other areas, it was absent. And there was a very successful reintroduction program in Šumava area. Which
is in the south of Bohemia.
Yes, it's on the Czech-Germany-Austrian border.
Mm-hmm. Very hilly terrain.
Yes, and it was in end of 80s, beginning of 90s, where there were released animals back into the wild, which formed a new population, which we call Bohemian, Bavarian, Austrian lynx population.
So if one comes across a lynx in the forest, I mean, obviously they're big cats. They could, are they dangerous? Could they jump on you and eat you? They got big teeth?
No. They're absolutely not dangerous. They are very quiet animals. Although they are big cats, they are quite small. They are only up to your knees or so. Mm-hmm. So if you come across a lynx, you are a very successful person. You are a very lucky person and you should watch it before it disappears. And you shouldn't be afraid. It's definitely not a dangerous animal.
So let's talk about some of the animals which are very, very common in the Czech Republic. I would say something like, well, there's lots and lots of wild pigs around, right? That's something
right,
you see
right.
in the forest. And you see a sudden patch of mud in the middle of nowhere, then you know that the wild boars have been dancing around, right? And they're almost too plentiful, is that right? So, or would you say, what would you say about the numbers there? Because a lot of them get poached, right?
Yes.
For food.
I don't think there are exact numbers because hunters do not do like this like scientific based monitoring, so they are just guesses, but they are definitely overpopulated. And in some areas, they make quite big damages on forests by this digging, and they eat everything. And their population is growing very fast because they can reproduce very fast.
You sometimes see little pigs, piglets in the forest walking
yes,
around. With, they
yes.
look very cute, but so it's a you say they're overpopulated.
Yes, and they reproduce like they can have, I don't know, 10, 15 piglets at once. And before they reproduce only during the reproducing season, but now it's during the whole year because the population is just doing well. They have plenty of food, so they are very fat and they are very, you know, their health is very good, so they reproduce more and more quickly. And it's very difficult to regulate them somehow.
So in this case, this is an instance where like hunting or culling is actually useful, natural preservation, right?
Yes, definitely. More hunting would be definitely good for piglets. But as I always say, if a wolf was widespread in the Czech Republic, we wouldn't need to deal with this issue. It's a natural predator of wild pigs. It's mm-hmm. a big animal which right. otherwise doesn't have a natural predator. But wolves, because they are organized in packs, they can hunt for quite big animals, such as moose or something. So they can even hunt for a wild boar. And they would serve as a natural regulator of wild boars, which would finally lead to, I would say, better state of the forest.
So are you overall happy with the amount of natural land in the Czech Republic and the amount of it that's, you know, managed well and national parks and so on? You think they should be, I suppose you'd want more, right?
I would say we are quite satisfied, but still there are sites of some natural importance which are not protected and would definitely deserve it, especially in the Natura 2000 system of European protected areas. There are some very nice areas which would deserve a protection on the national level.
Like where, for example?
Like Soutok Podluží. It's an area where rivers Moravia and Dyje meet, and it's an area which has very high biodiversity, maybe the highest in the Czech Republic, quite huge forests along the river, which have a very high biodiversity of fish and beetle species and birds, and also with beavers and others.
Yes, I wanted to ask about beavers and otters as well. So these are also present in the Czech Republic, right?
Yes, they are, and they are doing better and better. Otter is now quite widespread.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a species we are very interested in, so we have done several national surveys, so we can say that now otter is basically everywhere in the Czech Republic where are good habitats.
Mm-hmm.
And
which
beaver,
is water-based habitats, right?
Yes, definitely. Rivers and ponds
mm-hmm.
with fish, of course.
Right.
There are areas which are either dry or the water quality is not so good, so when there are no fish, of course otter cannot live there, but it's not large areas. Mainly otter is widespread, and beaver is doing better and better. It's now dispersing into new areas,
and they also beavers also require water, right?
They
build, they gnaw on trees, right? And they build their sort of, what are they called, dams or something? What's the name?
Yeah, when there are like small springs or in small watercourses, they are able to build a dam. But when it is a big river, of course, they cannot build a dam across a big river. So they only make burrows.
So what other interesting animals, small and large, can one see in the Czech Republic?
Well, there are like many of them. Although I say we don't have very high biodiversity, almost all kinds of amphibians are very rare and threatened, same with reptiles. And of course, we have many like bird species which are well studied. And in the Czech Republic, there is a big group of ornithologists who would tell you tens of very interesting species which you can see.
So overall, are you optimistic right now? Do you think Czech society and the various government and NGO structures and farmers and all these elements, are they working together relatively well to guard Czech nature, or do you think it's still a downward destructive path?
I would say relatively well, but it's very difficult to repair something which was damaged in the past, that many species decline to a level in which it is very difficult to change this direction and improve their status. If we were like 50, 60 years ago, it would be absolutely great,
right.
But the decline is like continuous and it's very difficult to stop it once it starts. But what I see very positive is that Czechs, I think, do really like nature. They like nature walks and they are quite supportive of nature conservation. And this is what I see as most important, that like everyone say, I want to live close to forest or close to river. I want to go there. I want my children to see a lot of animals. This is what we need the most, I would say.
Tereza Minaríková of Alka Wildlife, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me.
Geologist Tereza Minaríková there speaking with Dominic Yoon about her fascination for conservation and the lynx. If you have any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. But for me, Chris Johnston, thanks very much and goodbye.